told Timothy, don't let anybody look down upon you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Timothy was a young dude, and Paul said, it doesn't matter how young you are, you set an example for everybody despite their age. Y'all, Emily Good is doing that. So if we can give it up for our youngins showing us old saints what it looks like to serve Jesus. Appreciate you, Emily. Thank you. Beautiful. That's beautiful. Rachel mentioned about she was on the radio. You know, she heard on the radio about a kid not having the toothbrush and receiving the very first toothbrush through Operation Christmas Child. Actually, that person was a man, and that man was Tom Boyce. And so I'm so happy, Tom, that you received your first toothbrush a couple of years ago, man. It was so needed. Sorry. I needed a joke to start it off, and you were at my expense. It'd be somebody else next service. another announcement real quick. Now, the spaghetti fuel lunch, it's in the bulletin, but it wasn't on the video. Youth is going to Extreme Winter. It is incredible. Extreme Winter is incredible. It's a conference with a bunch of amazing artists as well as some amazing speakers. So many people get saved through Winter Extreme. And we want to send every single one of our 7th through 12th graders to Winter Extreme. And so they're going to have a spaghetti lunch next Sunday, directly after second service. $3 a plate for a spaghetti meal, $3. Now, $3 is suggested. However, you can give as much as you want to give. We want to send every single one of our kids there. One, get those bad boys saved, whoever ain't saved. And two, to light a fire underneath their tails so they can go and spread the gospel throughout the entire world. My heart was captured at a youth conference. I can't imagine. And it was a rinky-dink, you know, little conference. And so this one is legit. And so you all, let's support our youth by showing up to the spaghetti dinner. I mean, spaghetti dinner anyway, and it's right here. Spaghetti. It's delicious, all right? Y'all cool with that? I'm a little bit excited today. Oh, by the way, for those who don't know me, what's up? I'm Richard. I'm the senior pastor. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, so I'm going to cut it off with that. Ushers, if you can go ahead and come up real quick, we're going to give offering. I am super excited about offering. You all, we are diving in the Word, talking about heaven. And talking about heaven got me geeked up, got me excited so much. I don't know, it was just even compelling my heart to give more, give my resources, give my time, because I know where my home is. And God gave us a duty, a responsibility to tell everybody about this place that they can experience that, so they can experience this with us. And so what we're going to do, we're going to pray, let's give, and know that our giving goes directly to furthering the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Daddy, you are beautiful. Thank you so much for allowing us just to be here on Sunday, Father. I am so excited. So excited that we get to be here. So excited that you use us to further the ministry, to further the gospel, to make your name famous. You use us to do so. And God, we thank you. We pray, Father, you use our time, our resources, our energy, our everything for you. Soften up our hearts to give to your kingdom, Jesus. We pray, God, we will give in faith, love, God, we will just give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I'm really, really excited today, obviously. Now, what we're doing, we're finishing up Planet Earth, talking about heaven. Anybody know this movie? Let's go to that slide. Anybody know what this movie is? Say it loud. Castaway. Anybody know who that person is? That's Wilson. Castaway is probably one of my favorite movies of all times. For those who haven't seen Castaway, let me tell you about it, all right? So in short, Castaway, it's starring Tom Hanks and Helen Hunt. Pretty much Tom Hanks, he is on a plane trying to go home to 901 Memphis, Tennessee. Can I get an amen, Chantel? All right, so he's going home, and something happens to the plane, and the plane crashes at a beautiful island. I mean, this island is beautiful, and he is the lone survivor on this plane.
And the whole movie is just about, one, how he survives, him surviving this island, and then two, him waiting to get back home and him trying to get back home. And he created this guy named Wilson. We ain't gonna talk about that, but watch the movie. It is fantastic. Now, if you look at the island, while watching this movie, if you look at that island, I mean, I wanted to go. I'm like, man, that is a beautiful island. I mean, and on this island, even though he was ready to get back home, he experienced joy. He experienced happiness. He experienced triumph, peace, just the physical beauty, but nothing compared to home. There was a scene in the movie where he has a picture of his wife, and he is inside of a cave with his flashlight, and it's pitch dark in that cave, and he's just shining the light on his wife, and he turns it off, and he turns it back on, and turns it off, and turns it back on, and turns it off, and he's just being reminded of home. Now, even though it was stressful and everything at home, even though he has different problems and everything when he goes home, and even though he has to work all the time when he goes home, there was no place like home. Like, I want to leave this beauty to go where I'm truly from. I'm from the 901. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I want to get back to my boo, you know? And that's what and you all, spiritually speaking, like, that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Now hear me out. In John 17:16, it says that we're not of this world. And in Philippians 3:20, it says that our citizenship is in heaven. And in 1 Peter 2:11, it says that we are aliens and we are strangers. So you saints, it's okay to feel uncomfortable in our present condition where we are right now. In fact, we can go to that slide. One of the duties of the Holy Spirit is to make us uncomfortable with our present condition and long for our inheritance when we take possession of it. Now, hear me out when I say this. You may experience beauty here on this earth. In fact, we pray that we all experience beauty. There was a couple of people that we had babies. You know, there's a couple of New Beginnings babies that I can't wait to meet. Hopefully, I get to meet them this Sunday. And they experience the beauty of life. And you get to experience, some of you, we get to experience the beauty with our spouse and our children or our family or whatever. But we get to experience, you know, beauty here on earth. And it's great and it's fantastic, and we should enjoy and embrace the moment and live in that moment. But we should be so uncomfortable with this place, saints. We should be so uncomfortable here. We should long to where we're going. We should know that this place is not our home. We are indeed strangers. We are indeed aliens. Our citizenship is not of the United States, but our citizenship is of the New Jerusalem, of home, our earthly home. And when was the last time you all sat and thought and realized that you going there, yo? Like saints, I mean, like for real. Not just like, oh yeah, we get to go to heaven, but you're actually sitting down, chewing on it, studying what heaven looks like, what the Bible says about heaven, and realize that you will be there. Not me. But we should. Because whenever we become so uncomfortable here, we look for the things to come. That means in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, don't get involved with civilian affairs. All of this stuff, it doesn't matter. You're a Republican, Democrat, it don't matter, civilian affair. Like, you want to stand or you kneel, it don't matter, civilian affair. Like, we need to get our minds focused on above. And whenever we do that, we fall in greater intimacy with God. And whenever we're falling in greater intimacy with God, we are being transformed to look like him, and we will go about doing his business. Do y'all hear what I'm saying with that? This is not our home. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you feel some sort of being uncomfortable here on this earth. But why? Maybe many of you probably asking this question. So what does the Holy Spirit do to make us feel uncomfortable? If maybe, and you think about this, if you're being so comfortable in this world, you have a tendency to kind of hold on tighter to things, you know? Oh, no, this is my money. Mm-mm. No, I'm not going to give, you know? Or no, this is my time. I'm not going to spend it with that person. You know, you become less and less likely to serve one another whenever you are so involved with this present world. If you look at the most godly people, one thing that you can never say about them is they're selfish. These godly men and women here on this earth that we like, that we love, that we want to mimic, these men and women are selfless. They give their time, they give their money, they give their energy, they give their everything. And so maybe our selfishness is because we want to stick close to our earth, you know. Maybe we want to continue in our earth suits. Maybe we want to be, you know, maybe we want to continue here. And that's not what we're supposed to do. The Holy Spirit wants you to feel uncomfortable. So the question is, what does the Holy Spirit do to make us feel uncomfortable? I got a Bible verse for that. All right. Now, he gives us glimpses of what's to come. And whenever we get those glimpses of what's to come, our entire, it just changes. We change. We kind of use this with Maggie. Now, some of y'all probably think it's Robin, but it's been working for us. And so, when was it, Heidi? It was like in like late August, like or like middle of September, where we purchased tickets to go to the Polar Express, like in mid or late December. All right, and Maggie, she loves the Polar Express. And in fact, in September, we even went to the library and we got the movie. We got the book, The Polar Express, and we're watching the movie, The Polar Express. And we're telling Maggie, like, yo, we go there. Like, all of us, me, you, Maggie, you know, me, you, Violet, mommy, like, we're going to the Polar Express. You should get excited about it. And, I mean, months in advance, this four-year-old is really looking forward to going to that. And it alters her behavior. And we use it, too. You better believe it. I promise you we use that. She'd be acting the fool, but whenever we go to bed, be like, look, don't you want to go to the Polar Express? Yep, I'll go. You know, we check her real quick. But she is, you know, but think about it. Like, God is using that to really capture my heart because she realized what's to come. And so what's to come is like, she's not, you know, so focused in her present condition. She's not so focused in her present, her qualms, her problems, because she's looking forward to what's to come, what she's going to experience. One thing I loved about Castaway is Tom Hanks, he experienced heartache. He experienced physical pain. He experienced emotional pain. That was his present condition, but it didn't paralyze him to keep going home. Whenever we're so focused on our pain and our struggle, it's so easy to be focused on that, and it will paralyze us from moving forward or going about kingdom business. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Maybe your problems are intensified is because you're so rooted in this earth. But this is not your home. Amen? Maybe, just maybe, the reason why your situations are so difficult and are so unbearable is because of your mentality is so focused here. So how about we change our mentality? The Holy Spirit gives us glimpses to come. Next slide. And that's Bible. That's flat out Bible. The Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. So the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. Now, and I looked up, what is the guarantee? There's a Greek word for that. And the Greek word is ahraban. Yeah, you got to say it like you're spitting out a loogie. Ahraban, you know? That ahraban, it's an engagement ring. It's a pledge. Let's talk about the engagement ring. You all, now, I remember proposing to my beautiful wife. And proposing to my wife, I didn't get to experience the, and if you're doing it right, if you were playing according to God's rules, even though I give her an engagement ring, I don't get to experience the full benefits of being married. I don't get to experience that. Again, if you were abiding by God's rules, by God's laws, God's standards. And so I gave Heidi the ring as a down payment. I gave her that ring, and I'm like, girl, don't you go nowhere. I'm about to hit you, you know. I'm going to hit you into my wagon. Don't you go anywhere. Now, we engage in a deeper level of intimacy because I gave her that ring. I'm like, look, this is my promise. I'm going to come back to get you. Ooh, there's a sermon in that. I gave her a ring, and I said, I'm coming back to get you. And you know what? I did. Maybe there's a reason why in Ephesians 5 it talks about marriage, and marriage is supposed to be a picture of what Christ does to the bride, and we are the bridegroom. I'm getting excited about my marriage sermon series sometime soon, right? But Rabban, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. The Holy Spirit is a down payment. Whenever Jesus died and he resurrected and he goes, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a guarantee to guide you along these ways, to remind you that I am coming back to get you. And the Holy Spirit gives us glimpses of heaven, of our heavenly home. I don't know why I'm getting so excited about this, but I'm reading this and I'm like, I'm going there. I am going there. For you all who grew up low class, who grew up with nothing and you're currently in that, just know that that's, if you're a saint, that is not your permanent home. It's not your permanent home. Amen, amen, amen to that. And so many of you are probably asking, okay, Pastor, so what's to come? So what's to come? So let me tell you what's to come. Now, it gives us a picture in Revelation 21. John is on the island of Patmos. Nero exiled him. And John died on the island of Patmos. But there is where he wrote Revelation. Heidi always watched HGTV, and ironically, I do the same thing. Now, in fact, while I was putting the finishing touches on my sermon last night, Heidi was watching House Hunters, and in the middle of my sermon prep and stuff like that, you know, I'm like, hey, yo, Heidi, what's their budget? What they looking for? Am I lying, Heidi? In fact, and because I was asking her so many questions about that, she had to rewind it over and over again. I'm like, why are you rewinding it? I keep missing the spot. I ain't paying attention. Okay, my bad. But let me know what's their budget. What's their budget? $400,000? Golly, they rich. I ain't gonna keep on going. But anyway, so let me tell you just the specs of your home. Saints, your home. Your home. For one, this is what you would get to experience. One, a brand new city. Talk about a brand new city. Have you ever been in a really, really, really nice building? Like a really nice building, I mean. And I come into this building, and I'm like, man, this is nice. You know, you got the nice stained floors, and you got the nice painted stages off the chain. I mean, you know, or have you all been in a really, really cool, pretty city? You know, I was in Beijing, and I know you think of Beijing, you think of pollution and everything. It's actually a really beautiful city, some parts. Well, actually a lot of parts. Really, really beautiful city. And being in Beijing, I got to go into the bird's nest. Anybody know what the bird's nest is? Like that's where they did the Olympics. And I got to go into the bird's nest, and I mean just the outside of it, remarkable. Absolutely remarkable, one of the most unique and beautiful buildings that I've ever seen in my entire life. And at night, it illuminates and it's different colors. And then, you know, they still got like the Olympic torches there and the fire comes at night. I mean, I'm just starstruck. I'm like, this is incredible. But one day that building is going to get old and corroded. It's going to get jacked up. But what we get to experience is not a new building, but a brand new city. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that. Next slide. In Revelation 21, 1 through 2, John says, and then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Let's just think about that. Heaven is beautiful. And even a lot of places on this earth is remarkable, beautiful. But God goes, nah, for you, I'm going to give you something different. I'm going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that you're going to go. I'm preparing a place for you. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I remember my wedding day, the most beautiful sight. And I'm not saying this to get points with my wife, but I'm sure it's going to happen. But I remember my wife. It was most beautiful sights I've ever seen in my entire life. Seriously, not even joking. And a friend of ours, she's playing the music. I forgot what song she plays. She could have been playing Tupac for that matter. It didn't matter. My wife was coming down the aisle. And time stopped. I was with my homeboys, and we've been laughing and joking. We never showed a single shred of emotion from the time we were kids to the time we were adults. You know, so I'm like, no, I'm going to be that stone face. I ain't about to be that punk that be crying at my wedding. And then the pastor said, all rise. And they played that song. And then those doors opened. Time stopped. And there, my wife, it wasn't just she was hot, because she definitely is. But it was a beauty that I couldn't even experience. And it was like God is goes. It was like God, like, here, this is your bride. Some of y'all about to experience that, my man. You know, time stopped. And I'm like, wow. And I lost it. I'm crying like a little punk or whatever. And it was, you know, like slobbing and snotting all over the place. And I'm just waiting for my wife to cry too. But Miss Stoneface wasn't doing all. She's like, look, you, I love this thing, man. I ain't about to mess up my makeup. But look at this picture right here. You know, look at that right there. All right. I mean, you know, we was like, in this picture, we were like, okay, let's play it cool. So inside, I'm like, oh my gosh, this lady is beautiful. That's still my favorite picture, Heidi. Look, let's get that off the screen. I'm going to stare at that all day. Look at that girl. Oh my goodness. All right. Heidi, leave, so I'm going to stare at you all day too. I felt that as a sinful guy. When God gives us this city, like, it's like we're waiting for it, and God goes, here, children, this is your place. It just shows you how much God loves you. It just shows you how much God loves you. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? You're going there. We get to experience a brand new city. Next slide. Other thing we get to experience is God himself is with us. He doesn't delegate anything. Like, he himself is with us. Let's go, let's read in Revelation 21:3. It says this, it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself. God didn't say, like, okay, I'm going to create a beautiful angelic being, you know, to look after every single one of their needs. Now, he could have easily done that. God could create it. He could have created some mythical creature, you know, and to meet our every single need in heaven, to make us smile for all of eternity. He could have easily done that. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he had access to do that, but he still chose not to do it. He goes, no, I'm going to be there. It's me. I'm going to be with you. Behold, the dwelling face, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. T-H-E-M, meaning they're going to be people. We're going to have a family, and God's going to be in the midst of his family. Have you all felt alone? Not in heaven. There's no such thing as alone. There's always family. There is no need for isolation. There is no need for, let me just get my personal time, just give me my space real quick. There's no need for that. I'm going there. I'm going there. I'm going there. I'm going there. God, come right now. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God is with us. The dwelling place of God is with man. Amen. Are y'all with me real quick? All right. Next slide. Something that you also experience there is no more confusion, no more pain, no more death. Revelation 21, it says this. It says that he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any, mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. What God is saying right here is like, don't get it twisted. Like every tear like will be wiped from your eyes. You will have perfect knowledge in heaven. There is no such thing. And I mean, not only do you get a new glorified body, but your mind is transformed. Perfect knowledge in heaven. Perfect. That means every mystery that you experience now, the things that you want to know about God. I have 66 books of stuff that I don't understand in the Bible. I'm going to have perfect knowledge in heaven. Perfect. I would know how to do everything. There is no holding back the wisdom of God. I would know God fully. I would know myself fully. I would know you all fully. You know, when you truly know somebody, the more you know that person, the closer you become. I mean, you do see that, you see their problems, you see their mishaps, you see their shortcomings. But even on this earth, it still draws you closer to them. Nobody in here knows me better than Heidi Marks. And she knows what makes me tick. She knows my sin. She knows my being jacked up. She knows all of that stuff. And it draws her that much closer, her that much closer to me. Our relationship is strong. But in heaven, there is no such thing as sin. In heaven, there is no such thing as problems, qualms. There's no such thing as that. Heaven would be a perfect fellowship. Heaven, no more pain, no more confusion. You are going to live in a place forever. There is no such thing as cancer. There's no such thing as hunger. There is no need for Operation Christmas Child. As beautiful as that is, it breaks my heart that these kids, they are in dire need. But we're going to live in the place there's no such thing as need. Amen. I need something real quick. No such thing. Do you know that? You know that. We get to go there, yo. This world is scrap. Forget this world. I don't care about this world. My citizenship is not here. I'm going to heaven. Let's be focused on that. When we're focused on that, then that's what draws us closer to one another. Then it's easy to give, and it's easy to serve, and it's easy to love, and it's easy to pray for, and it's easy to study. It's easy to do that when you know that you don't belong here. Be uncomfortable. Amen? He will wipe every tear from your eyes. Next slide. Unimaginable structural beauty. Unimaginable. Says that, and the one who spoke with me, all right, now the angel, they took Paul on a high mountain, and he's, you know, and so he's looking at all of this stuff, and just structural beauty, just that. This is what he experienced. And for one, even the measuring rod, they had a golden ruler. Even their utensils are beautiful. measuring rod of gold, measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city lies four square, meaning that it's a perfect cube. It's a perfect square. And its length is the same of its width. And he measured in the city with his rod. It was 12,000 stadia. Now, what that is, 12,000 stadia, that is 1,400 miles. That is half the length of the United States of America. That's one city. Half the length of the United States of America. Now, this is four square. So not only it was 1,400 miles long, but it's 1,400 miles high. What is it? When do the planes fly? Is it what, 12,000 feet? You know, whenever they, whatever they say, okay, now we reach 12,000 feet. I forget how many feet it is, but it ain't no 1,400 miles up there. That's how high it is. If you're afraid of heights right now, ain't no such thing as being afraid of heights in heaven. Just imagine, that's the biggest sky rise you've ever seen in your entire life. A place that can inhabit billions of people, one city. The capital city where we will be, one city. Next slide. Abundant and everlasting light. That's what we get to experience. Oh, I'm sorry. And the length and the width and the height were equal, and he measured in the wall was 144 cubits. And the walls around the city, I think that's 216-foot high walls. And these walls were not just stone. They were just jewels after jewels after jewels. And the Bible tells us about the gates and the walls. I mean, y'all, it was just beautiful. And the walls was built of jasper. You know, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Anybody has on gold right now? Raise their hand. Anybody have any gold on? All right, you got gold on. Question for you. Looking at your gold, can you see through it? Absolutely not. A perfect jewel. Like the gold. Even the streets are gold, but it's not like a gold that you can think of. It's transparent gold. Gold that's so pure, you can see right through it. And so what you're seeing is a huge, beautiful city that's completely transparent. You can even see through it because it's so pure. There's no such thing as impurities in heaven, and you're going to be there. Don't forget, you're going to be there. Let me stop. I'm getting excited. Next slide. An abundant and everlasting light. Next slide. Says that the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass, like you're, and that's what you walk on. That's what you walk on. Pure gold, transparent. And I saw no temple. Ain't no such thing. There would no be a building of new beginnings in heaven. It won't be. Why? I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city, there's no need for a sun, the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There was no such thing as darkness. You know how we need the sun to go operate outside, you know, or you need the moon to get light, you know, on outside. There is no such thing. You could... That's the deal. I mean, you go and look at an ocean. Whenever the lights are turned out, whenever it's dark, you can't experience that ocean anymore. You can't see it. Maybe you get to see the small remnants just right there in front of your face. But there, you get to experience God's glory, God's beauty 100% of the time. For God is the lamp, and he's going to be with you forever. And I don't know if I told you once, but we get to go there. For the sake of time, I'm skipping through a bunch of it, but last Planet Earth video. Let's check out this video real quick, all right?
Unfortunately, this small Japanese pufferfish is dull, almost to the point of invisibility. But to compensate, he is probably nature's greatest artist. To grab a female's attention, he creates something that almost defies belief. His only tools are his fins. In his head, a plan of mathematical perfection. He plows the sand, breaking it up into the finest of particles. These shells aren't just rubbish to be removed. He uses them to decorate the bridges of his construction. He can't rest for more than a moment, but must work 24 hours a day for a week, or the current will destroy his creation. A final tidy up, and his masterpiece is complete. In nature, does an animal construct something as complex and perfect as this? If this doesn't get him noticed, nothing will.
Do you see how he prepared a place for his bride? You see how he prepared a place for his bride. Oh, yes, God definitely speaks to us through nature. So what does God do? He says it in John 14. He says this. In my Father's house, and my Father, Jesus is speaking. And he's talking to his disciples. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. For if were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will.
Let's go back one.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will for you. Next one. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. That is where I am. You may be also. Jesus Christ saw us in our distress, and there was no way for us to come to him. He sent Jesus Christ down, who lived a 100% perfect life, and took the punishment for our sins so you wouldn't have to. He died, resurrected, proving that he can defeat death. And before he left, he said, I'm sending a helper. I'm going to send a guarantee to remind you of the things that was to come. Jesus Christ ascended. The Holy Spirit third in the Trinity, came and lived in the hearts of the saints. And every saint in here, please know that the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart saying, don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. We got to go somewhere. We're going to be with each other. Now, you look like me. Whenever you're here, just you wait. When you die, I got something for you, and I prepared a place for you. We all rise. For the people in here that don't know Jesus Christ, this is your home. It can be your home. It's for you. All you have to do is submit underneath Christ's lordship. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. And he will visit you immediately. He will be right there. The Holy Spirit will be inside of you. And whenever you die, you're going to go to that place. Words can't even describe how beautiful heaven is. It gives them the tip. It can't even describe how incredible it is. And we're going to go there. Saints, you listen to me. All right? Don't get comfortable here. Let's go about God's business by loving each other, serving each other. Let's go about doing that in every single thing that we do. For those who don't know Jesus Christ, know that that's your possible home. All you got to do is submit underneath his lordship. How about you do it right now? Don't wait. Do not wait. Come now. Prayer team, if we can come up. And again, do not... Just forget about being embarrassed. Forget about just walking up here. What will people think? Just know that you're not a citizen of this place. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just come. Sit. Just come. Throw it all off and come. I don't know about you all, but I'm going there. And it's my duty to tell as many people as I can. Saints, let's do the same. Let's go. Let's go. We're going.
You are my joy, you are my song, you are the way.